Good morning. I'm Tommy Howe, and welcome to another edition of Tree Huggers International, a weekly natural science and environmental affairs program dedicated to the preservation of parks, wilderness, and special places. From the beaches to the mountains to the deserts, this is Tree Huggers International. Be careful and use this show with caution, because you might just learn something. As you may be aware, we recently lost our friend, Jerry Shad. The author of A Foot in a Field in San Diego, and well over a dozen other trail and guidebooks related to the outdoors of Southern California, Jerry made a couple of appearances on Tree Huggers International, and he was most definitely a friend of the show. We did a tribute and memorial show for Jerry in the weeks after his death, and one of the folks whom I mentioned during the memorial show was Jerry's wife, Peg Ryder. Jerry's last book, 50 Best Short Hikes, San Diego, has just been released by Wilderness Press, Jerry's longtime publisher. Jerry worked on the book over the course of the spring and summer, even as the effects of his illness grew more severe, and by his side the entire time, helping and assisting in every way possible, was Peg. Peg Ryder was instrumental in the completion of 50 Best Short Hikes, San Diego, and after consulting with Susan Haynes, the senior editor at Wilderness Press, I thought the best way to feature the book and Jerry's legacy was to have Peg on to talk about her involvement with the book and the precious time she was able to spend with her husband doing so. Peg Ryder, we are so happy to have you here today. Welcome to Tree Huggers International.
Thank you, Tommy. I'm delighted to be here.
Did you get a chance to sample a lot of these trails with Jerry?
Yes, this book is incredibly personal to me. When I met Jerry in March of 2010, one of the first things he told me was that he was working on what would be his last book.
Oh?
Little did he know it really would be. Oh. And by that I mean he knew he would not be writing another book from start to finish. He planned on keeping A Foot in a Field current well into his 80s. Mm-hmm. But in terms of a whole new book, he wanted this to be his last book. So in the first 6-7 months that I knew Jerry, out of the 50 hikes in this book, I did 32 of the hikes with him. And that does not include all the other hikes we did that did not end up in this book. He and I were very busy people.
Tell me, as far as Jerry was concerned, and as far as you were concerned, what constitutes a short hike? How many miles? Or was it more a matter of how close it is to the urban center of San Diego?
Well, for this particular book, Jerry wanted to focus on hikes that were close to the city. The hikes range anywhere from 1 mile to 8 miles. And so basically, he's looking at anything that would be 20 miles or less from the coast. So if you're going east, if it's more than 20 miles, it probably is not in this book. So he begins the book up in Oceanside, and he works the reader down the coast all the way to Imperial Beach, and then he goes east, as I said, about 20 miles.
Readers looking for something more meaty relating to Anza Brega might be better suited getting A Foot in a Field in San Diego, but for something short and nearby, it sounds like a pretty ideal book.
Absolutely, and the point of this book was to make people aware that you can walk outside your door and somewhere very close by is a place that you can hike in San Diego County. This is a great book for people who live here. It's a wonderful book to have if you have guests from out of town who come to visit, or for the tourist who happens to be here in San Diego for a convention or vacation.
So are there any particularly durable, characteristically favorite Jerry Shad short hikes included in this volume?
You know, I get that question frequently about this book.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, speaking for Jerry as well as myself, I can't pick a favorite hike in this book. It depends on the mood that you're in, the type of setting that you want, and that will determine the best hike for that particular day. I will say this about the book. What was new to me was urban hiking. And people don't know this about Jerry, but the last 5 years of his life, he lived downtown in a high-rise condo. And I know most people probably think of Jerry Shad as someone living in a cabin out on the remote edges of wherever. He really became an urbanite in the last part of his life and wanted to embrace more urban experiences. And that's something that this book does, and also suburban experiences. So for me, learning about the urban hikes was exciting and something fresh and new. For example, there's a canyon not far from downtown, Maple Canyon. You can hike in that canyon, or you can also hike above it and cross several footbridges that go over the canyon. That was something new to me.
Yeah, Maple Canyon. That's one of the first places I really explored because I lived right by Maple Canyon. It was one of my first places when I lived in San Diego.
It's a beautiful area.
And I know Jerry liked to jog up and down Maple Canyon.
Yes, he did.
And those canyons are really interesting, too. And there's something very unique to this part of Southern California because they really are their own little environments in there. And you don't necessarily have that kind of canyon country, say, in Los Angeles, even Orange County. It's very unique to San Diego.
I would agree with that. And that's one of the things that I have so enjoyed about San Diego. Because of the topography and the canyons here, I never feel like I'm in a large city. Because it, you know, it cuts up the geography, so it's not the sprawl like Los Angeles, for example.
Yeah, and there's some really well-preserved canyons. I mean, Maple Canyon is just, so many people live right by that. Then you get like Tecolote Canyon, which is a really great resource as well.
Exactly.
And a great place to go visit. Were there any particular trails included in this book which were either new to Jerry or perhaps a trail which he'd forgotten about, maybe put on the back burner, and then thought, oh, you know, I should include that in this volume?
No, I mean, Jerry knew so much about the county. I don't think there's any trail he ever forgot about or didn't know about. So I would have to say probably not the case.
What would be the most urbanized trail in this book which surprised you in terms of proximity to an urbanized area?
Well, we talked about Maple Canyon. That was new to me.
Yeah.
The other thing was, for example, the North Embarcadero. I think one of the most interesting things was the Bankers Hill part of town because he had historical information in the book about parts of Bankers Hill that most people maybe wouldn't know about. So just from a historical standpoint, there's hikes in here that give you history that might be new. Architectural history, history about people who, you know, created San Diego, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so you really literally could be within yards of one of these different outings that Jerry's talking about in this
Absolutely,
book too,
yes.
If you live in San Diego. Mm-hmm. As far as urban trails go, would you consider something like Mission Trails an urban hike, or did Jerry really consider that an urban hike, or did he really think that of as like its own animal?
That's its own animal. By urban hike, I refer to things that involve sidewalks or more you're in the city.
Right.
Mission Trails, when you're there, you get the sense that you may be the only person outside because there's parts of that park where you actually can feel very remote. So I would not consider that to be an urban hike as I'm describing in talking with you. Urban, I mean, you're maybe in a downtown canyon, if you will, and the canyon is created by the high-rise buildings, that kind of thing.
I would imagine there's some good beach trails included, like Black's Beach, Cabrillo National Monument, which are just great resources here as well.
Oh, absolutely. La Jolla, Del Mar. There's a lot of coastal hikes in this book.
So do you have any favorites that you particularly like? Were there any that you were really sort of leaning on editorial-wise for Jerry to include in the book?
I can't say I have a favorite, but I will share. There was one Sunday shortly after he died that I was having a rather difficult time. And I said to myself, well, what would Jerry do? Well, Jerry would go on a hike. And so I just opened up the book and picked a hike, and I ended up doing the hike in La Jolla that takes you from the village of La Jolla to Mount Soledad. It's about a 6-mile hike. So I parked in the village of La Jolla, and this hike takes you through these very narrow, curvy little streets, and the vistas and viewpoints are phenomenal. And the nice thing was Jerry was with me every step of that hike.
Had you done much exploring around San Diego before you met Jerry?
Yes, I had worn out many pairs of hiking boots before I met Jerry. Yes. Hiking was not something new to me. Hiking with Jerry was new to me. Yeah. I will say this, I did not have much exposure to the desert. That was just something that I didn't do that frequently. So that going to the desert with him was a new experience for me.
I think we've touched on some of the things about San Diego that make this a great hiking destination, a great outdoors destination, beyond the fact that you have pretty good weather, pretty reasonable weather all year long, except for maybe some of the hottest summer days. Certainly along the coast, you could even get in a hike in the beach in September and October when it's very hot. But what are some other attributes to San Diego County which you feel, and which Jerry might have felt, were unique and made this place very, very special for outdoors fans?
Well, we have such diversity in terms of the geography. We have, you know, flat along the coast. We have the canyon areas, the mountains, the desert, and it's all right here in front of us. We have the very temperate weather, so year-round you can pretty much plan anything. We have such a variety of animal and plant life, some places more so than any other place in the country. And it's all right here. We do live in paradise.
I was amazed when I learned that San Diego County had one of the most diverse sets of flora and fauna anywhere, certainly in the United States. I suppose when you look at the latitudes, it kind of makes sense. But then you see all the different environments and elevations that we have in this county. And then it's not really a surprise.
Yeah, and I had the same sense of wonder, too, when I learned that statistic. It was rather surprising. And it makes one realize that we should be more aware of our environment.
You're originally from the Midwest. Were you an outdoors fan before you moved even to San Diego, or was it something you picked up really after you arrived in Southern California?
No, I loved being outdoors. In fact, I attribute my father with my love of nature. I grew up on a farm, and my father loved being outdoors. He loved doing anything related to nature. So a typical Sunday for me would be getting up, going to church, coming home. And my dad and I, typically, we would do this, just the two of us. We would go fishing. We would go hiking. We would look for morel mushrooms. We would go tromping through the woods. I mean, anything to do outdoors, I was with my father step by step. And I really attribute to him for giving me the love of nature and hiking.
Did you really begin to appreciate what you had growing up later on? You said, oh, man, I had it pretty good.
You know, it's funny, when you're a child, you don't realize that, but looking back as an adult, yes, I was incredibly fortunate. I had a wonderful family environment, and it was consistent, and it came from a close-knit family, and not everybody gets that.
You're from Iowa.
Yes.
Were there any particular places in Iowa around where you grew up which are still there today, which a visitor might really appreciate if they were visiting that part of the state?
Well, Iowa doesn't change all that much. It's not like California, where there's been a mass increase in population and things change dramatically. So a lot of the places that I enjoyed when I was a kid are still there untouched and still beautiful, and makes one appreciate nature.
Can you give some detail about how you and Jerry met and how you realized you both enjoyed the outdoors? You probably figured that out in about 30 seconds, but... can you give some detail about that?
Sure. I actually love to share the story of how I met Jerry. I like to say I found Jerry on Match.com. And that's a story in and of itself. I'll give you just that. So we arranged for our first face-to-face meeting to be in Balboa Park, meeting at Trail 43 at the corner of 6th and Upas. Now, when I met Jerry, all I knew was his first name. I didn't know anything about him. And as we were walking and talking, you get into, well, what do you do, and that kind of thing. And he very humbly said, well, I do some teaching, and I've written some recreational guidebooks, and that's about it. And I said, oh, do you enjoy hiking? He said, yes. And then I said, well, are you familiar with the book A Foot in a Field in San Diego? And he said, well, actually, I'm the author of that. And I went, oh, you're that guy. I know who you are, and you do the Romarama column, and you're that guy. Okay. So then, of course, I knew that this was someone who would love to be outside, and that's something I enjoyed, and we were pretty much step in step from that point forward.
Now, I gather one of the great things about Jerry was that he was a fast walker.
Yes. And in fact, Tommy, when I met him, one of my first thoughts was, oh, I finally met a man who walks my pace. I'm a very fast walker. And so when I say we were step in step, I mean literally and figuratively. We were step in step from almost the moment we met. Now, I will share this one story about Jerry. The second hike I took with him was at Daly Ranch, and it was a 6 or 7 mile hike. And there was quite a bit of elevation gain on this particular path he chose. And we were going typical Jerry Shad speed, and we were talking the whole time. And when we got to the top, to the vista point, and sat down, he turned to me and he said, well, I'm impressed. You kept my pace, and you could talk at the same time. And I said, Jerry Shad, I will never slow you down. I'll race you back to the car, and you're never going to have to wait for me to catch up with you, ever. And I held true to my word on that every time we hiked.
What would you guys usually take? Did you bring the 10 essentials, or did you have a pack, or was there any particular snack you liked bringing along?
Well, Jerry, he always said, bring along enough water, bring more water than you think you might need. Always have snacks with you because you never know when you might need some more energy. So, and always have your cell phone with you. If you can, let people know where you're going if it's going to be remote and there's no cell phone reception. Have first aid things with you if you're going to be really remote. He was very conscious of safety.
I remember having Jerry on the show, and we talked a bit about the 10 essentials. And the first time I had him on, we talked about hiking in the summertime. And he said, well, have a hat and have sun lotion. But then he also said, go out in the late afternoon.
Right.
And you can still have a very, very nice time in the desert and not be out there during the heat of the day. There's no reason to go out there at lunchtime.
Exactly. That's true. And again, he always emphasized have enough water. You have to have water.
If you're just joining us, this is Tree Huggers International. I'm Tommy Helm. We're joined today by Peg Ryder, wife of the late Jerry Shadd. Peg played an enormous role in the completion of Jerry's final book, 50 Best Short Hikes, San Diego. Sadly, Jerry died in September, but he was involved in every step of the project in putting his book together and lived to see all but the final published product. 50 Best Short Hikes San Diego is available now at your favorite bookstore in the outdoor section, and it's also available at the Wilderness Press website for 25% off the retail price. You can find out more at Wilderness Press's website, wildernesspress.com. That's wildernesspress.com. You can also find out more information on Jerry Shadd's other books there as well at wildernesspress.com. And while you're at it, check out Jerry's website of his astronomical photographs, one of his great passions, at skyphoto.com, www.skyphoto.com. Peg, how long was it before Jerry took you out on a full-on Jerry Shadd night outing to go see the stars and everything in the sky?
Golly. Well, the one that's most memorable, and we did several of those, was August 2010, the Perseids meteor shower. And he took me to a top secret spot out in Anza Borrego, sworn to secrecy. I can't tell you where I went. And we had a wonderful time. That particular meteor shower, we were seeing literally about 100 meteors per hour. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And how he set up our campsite was fascinating. He said, you wait here in the house. I'm going to get all the camping gear ready, and I'll come get you when we're ready to go. And I thought, okay, this will be several hours. Probably 10 minutes later, he came back and said, okay, we're ready. I went, really? Yep, we're ready to go camping. So on the way to the desert, we stopped and we had a late lunch or early dinner, if you will. We get to this very remote spot. He throws a tarp on the ground, two sleeping bags, and he said, camp set up, let's hike. I went, okay. So that was camping for Jerry. He made it very, very simple. And then we went to sleep. He set a little alarm to wake us up about 1 a.m. And for 4 hours, we just watched the night sky peppered with meteors. And it was magical. So that's probably my most memorable desert camping trip with him.
Even with all of your outings, you know, I realize you and Jerry didn't have much time together. So every moment certainly must stand out. What were some other particularly great outings where you saw something which you hadn't seen before?
Well, one of the really fun things I got to do, Tommy, was joining Jerry with his astronomy students, because he took them on field astronomy classes or labs, if you will. So he would pick a remote place, you know, as far away from the city lights as possible. The students would drive out, and he would do a 3 or 4 hour lecture on the night sky. He had this laser pointer so he could point to stars so you could see what he was talking about. And it was absolutely fascinating. He spoke without any notes, and it was just so conversational, so educational, and so very, very interesting. And a couple of those were actually overnight camping trips with the students if they wanted to do that. Those that did really took advantage of all of his knowledge, because we would then get up at 4 a.m, and he would show them the morning sky, and he would do a hike with them if they wanted to join in on a hike. Now, for those who knew who Jerry was, that was something they definitely were going to do. Some of them didn't understand that he had this whole other career going and didn't quite know the how wonderful it would be to get to do a hike with him. And as Susan Haynes, his editor, had said when she spoke at the memorial, Jerry put the why in everything. And by that she meant words that end in the letter Y. You know, the biology, the botany, the ecology, the history, the astronomy. And he could do that so effortlessly. So the world became much more enhanced for me anyhow when I hiked with Jerry or was out in nature with him, because he could point out things that the average person just wasn't aware of or maybe had never observed. But he did it in a way that was not arrogant. It was just knowledge that he liked to share. So that's, for me, that's one of the things that made hiking with him so very interesting. It wasn't just walking along. It was information about the grains of sand, about why a mountain was named something, a certain plant, what the history was of that particular area. I mean, he just knew so much about so many different topics.
You know, you mentioned Susan Haynes. Can you talk about how she fit into the picture working on this book? Because you were often on the phone with her.
Yes. Susan, as I said, was Jerry's editor for this particular book. Susan and Jerry never met in person. So their entire relationship was based on this one book via emails and phone calls. By the time Jerry had completed writing this book and had submitted the first draft, he learned he had stage 4 cancer. And so Susan became quite integral in pushing this project ahead and giving it an expedited schedule. And I'm very grateful to Susan for that. So Jerry, as he got into his illness, became less able to do things. The last 4.5, 5 months of his life, he was actually bedridden. And by that I mean he had to lay flat on his back, and he couldn't sit up, and he couldn't get to a computer. We didn't have a laptop in our home. So Susan would send emails. I would read emails. I would go back into the bedroom, tell Jerry what Susan had to say. I would print things out. If it were maps or things that he needed to look at, I would print them out, take a clipboard in. I'd lay next to him on the bed with the clipboard, give him a red pen. He would mark things up. So that worked for quite some time. We would try to schedule conference calls with Susan to talk about the book during the time of the day that Jerry seemed to be at his best. And then I would lay in bed next to him, and he had a speaker phone on his cell phone, so we'd turn the speaker phone on. And then that way I could hear the conversation and take notes while he and Susan were talking. Toward the very end of his illness, when it became even more challenging for him to participate, Susan and I basically just started taking care of things ourselves. And at the very, very end, he never really got to participate in the page proofs because he just couldn't. And so with Susan's help, she and I were able to put the pieces together and make it happen. And that was one commitment I'd made to Jerry. I promised him that this book would get completed and would get published, and you know, I really have Susan to thank for that.
How far along was Jerry with the project before he got sick?
Well, when I met him in March 2010, he and Wilderness Press were talking about the concept of this. Mm-hmm. And he had already identified 50 to 60 hikes that he thought would work best for this book. So really, from the moment I met him, we just started hiking these hikes. And then he started writing the hikes, and he had the maps. And by the end of December 2010 or January 2011, he pretty much had the book, the first draft written and all the maps done. So that he submitted it to Wilderness Press. And in February, he started not feeling so well, and we started to think something might be wrong. And then, of course, by the end of March of 2011, we knew he was sick. At that point, Wilderness Press was in the mode of working on the book, recognizing that this had to be an expedited project because they knew, you know, Jerry had a short window. It was to the point where he really couldn't write anymore. It was just too difficult. So I would sit next to him and I'd say, Jerry, just talk to me like I'm a person. just person you meet on the street and you want to tell this person about this particular hike or about this region of San Diego County, just talk to me. So he would talk. I would just write down some very cryptic notes. Then I'd go back into the computer while he was sleeping and I'd type up what we had talked about. And then I'd print it out and I'd take it back to him and I'd say, here, see if this makes sense. See what you think about what I wrote. And then he would sit there with me and we would edit it together and I would clean it up. He'd review it again and then I would send it off to Susan. So we really did collaborate on this project. I mean, him getting sick and cancer obviously was not something we wanted. But on the other hand, because he had this project, it gave him something to do while he was so very sick. He was a very intellectual man. And having this project brought him tremendous joy.
You know, we mentioned Balboa Park a couple of times, and I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about Jerry's work on the trail system at Balboa Park and the renaming of one of the trails there after him.
Right. When Jerry moved downtown, he became very involved with Balboa Park. Balboa Park is just a few blocks from where we live. In fact, I can see the park from my living room window. There was a committee, I'm not quite certain how many people were involved, that came together, different professional backgrounds, that decided Balboa Park needed to have better trail identification and more trails made. So Jerry was part of that group. And if anyone hasn't been to Balboa Park recently, they really should go. Stop at the Information Center. And they can show you a map of all the different trail systems, or go on the internet too. And it really is an extensive trail system, and it's right in the heart of the city. Mm-hmm. Amazing. As I said earlier in the program, Jerry and I met our first date in Balboa Park on Trail 43, which is a trail that begins at the corner of 6th and Upas and goes down kind of linear to 6th Avenue, but through the park. Well, when Jerry became so very ill, I wanted to do something that would honor Jerry and memorialize him and the work he did at Balboa Park. So I contacted Casey Smith at Balboa Park. He's the senior park administrator at the time, and chatted with him about my desire to do something for Jerry. And with Casey's help, we were able to get Trail 43 renamed the Jerry Shad Memorial Trail. And that's a trail that I walk easily once or twice a week, and it's very, very special to me. And I really have Casey to thank for spearheading that, because he had to work with different protocol and policies, procedures, to actually get the city to approve renaming that one trail after Jerry. Jerry was very surprised I made that happen.
Is that right?
Oh, he cried when I told him what happened.
Oh, really?
Yes. He was very touched by that.
It's hard to think of many other major American cities, and maybe Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, Central Park in New York, but Balboa Park, that's a pretty amazing, special place.
Well, it is, and the interesting thing about it is you have such different areas of the park. You have the section where there are all the museums and the historic buildings from the 1915 exhibition. And then if you go over on the east side, the Florida trails over there, mm-hmm. where it's feels more remote and like you're on dusty, sandy, you know, trails. It's just a very diverse park. And hopefully people will get out and experience all the different things that are in the park. Jerry really wanted this final book of his to be something that anybody, and I do mean anybody, could get some delight out of. You don't have to be a hiker or an ultra athlete like Jerry was to enjoy this book. You can be grandma wanting to take a grandchild for a little stroll, and this book will have something in it for you. You can be someone who might say, gee, I have never really done anything athletic. This book could get you started on a whole new world of appreciation of outdoor things around San Diego. It could maybe get you started on a healthier lifestyle with something as simple as just walking your neighborhood. You don't have to be a major athlete to enjoy getting out there and just doing outdoor activity in San Diego County.
You're on the cover, by the way.
Yes, that was an accident, actually. Jerry had submitted about 20 photographs.
Oh.
And when they sent the first mock-up, I was on the cover, and he didn't know that they were going to pick that. So he told the publisher, please keep the cover exactly as it is. It's perfect. So that was a surprise to him as well as Di.
Is that at Mission Trails?
No, this was Del Diaz Gorge.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really amazing place, isn't
it? It is. That was a fun hike. Interesting photography because of the shadows the metal on the bridge created.
There's another photo of you in Balboa Park.
Yes, there is, hugging one of the founder statues. And that picture actually ran in one of his Rome columns, too, when he did a story on Balboa Park.
Great maps, by the way, too. Mm-hmm. Jerry's books always had really good maps in them.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that Susan commented on. Jerry was an editor's dream because he knew the photography. He knew how to write. Mm. He knew how to take pictures. I mean, he was the whole package. And as she said, quite honestly, you didn't need to edit Jerry. He gave you pretty much the whole thing.
Peg, I just want to express how sorry we are at Tree Huggers International, Corey and myself, and the team at FM 94.9, how sorry we are for your loss. And words don't begin to approach addressing this. And I've expressed our sympathies to you privately, and I just wanted to do so again in this venue. How sorry we are and how much we're all going to miss Jerry. This book is another great component to his legacy. And I really thank you for making some time to come to the show and talk about this today. We certainly expect to keep in touch, and we're very happy to have you as a friend of the show. We fully expect to do some walking with you, though you may be about, 20 paces ahead of us. But thanks for making time today, Peg. Take care, keep in touch, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Tommy. I was delighted to be on the program and to honor Jerry by talking about his last book. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks again. That's going to wrap things up for this week's edition of Tree Huggers International. I'm Tommy Howe. Immense thanks once again to our guest, Peg Ryder, Jerry Shadd's widow, and a key component in the successful completion and publication of Jerry Shadd's final book, 50 Best Short Hikes San Diego, now available from Wilderness Press. For more information on the book and to get 25% off the retail price of the book, go to wildernesspress.com. That's wildernesspress.com for more information on 50 Best Short Hikes San Diego. Again, you can also check out Jerry's gallery of astronomical photographs at his longtime website, and that is skyphoto.com. Skyphoto.com. Dozens of Jerry's pieces written over the years for the San Diego Reader's Romarama column are also online at the Reader's website, that is sandiegoreader.com. And a very special thanks to Susan Haynes, Rachel Freitag, and Amber Henderson at Wilderness Press, Menasha Ridge Press, and Keen Communications for their help and assistance with this show. For more information on Tree Huggers International and to hear previous editions of the show, go to the Tree Huggers International website at treehuggersintl.com. And you can also access the Tree Huggers International page via the FM 94.9 website at fm949sd.com. Also find social media outlets for Tree Huggers International at Facebook and Twitter. Our Twitter account is at TreeHuggersINTL. Tree Huggers International content is now also available on iTunes. This is Tommy Howe for Tree Huggers International. We'll be back again same time next Sunday with another take on natural science and environmental affairs as we continue our mission to preserve parks, wilderness, and special places on Tree Huggers International. Thanks for making us a part of your Sunday morning, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Be well.